Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please. It's been a week of transitions, hasn't it? If you can't tell from the bags under my eyes, one of the exciting transitions in my life is that Dan and I got a puppy yesterday. And while I can't say I slept very much last night, we're pretty excited. Who doesn't love a puppy? Far more important, of course, was the transition this week in our national life. At noon on Wednesday, our country experienced once again the wonder of a peaceful transfer of power as one administration ended and another began. Just a few weeks ago, as an insurrectionist mob stormed the Capitol, it wasn't clear that this nearly 230-year-old tradition would continue, but it did, albeit with the threat of violence hanging pregnant in the air. And while we can thank God that that tradition did endure, we must also never forget just how precious, how fragile our democratic self-government really is. Even our gospel reading this morning speaks of transitions. John has been arrested, never to preach or to baptize again. Herod has succeeded in silencing his critic, a warning to anyone who would follow in John's prophetic footsteps by speaking truth to power. And yet it's precisely now, in this moment, with John shut up in prison, with violence hanging in the air, that Jesus chooses to inaugurate his public ministry, preaching his first sermon and calling his first disciples. Like Jonah before him, Jesus knows that doing the work that God calls him to do may well result in danger, as those in power rarely like to lose it. But he presses on, undaunted, undeterred, with a sense of urgency for the task at hand. He travels to Galilee and begins preaching. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. It's a message shockingly similar to the one that got John in trouble. And yet Jesus seems to have no fear. It's true, and so he doesn't hesitate in saying it. But not just that. He doesn't just proclaim the truth. He begins to build a movement, begins to call together a people that will, in time, turn the known world upside down with the truth and the beauty and the power of the gospel, begins to build a movement, to calls together a people that turns the known world upside down, casting out of power those who had it. He calls his first disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John, and they immediately leave everything and follow him. It's the beginning of something new. And not unlike a new puppy waiting to go outside every half an hour, there's also a sense of urgency about it, a sense of excitement. Jesus says, now, this is the time. And the disciples seem to agree, leaving behind the things they had known and the lives they had enjoyed to embark on this new thing. It's always a wonder to me, I'm sure it is to you too, a wonder to me that they would do that. After all, being a fisherman in Galilee was a pretty good life. Hard work, to be sure, but a stable and a solid livelihood. More than enough to provide for your family. Mending their nets, they're focused, like most of us most of the time, on preserving and protecting the good life they know. And yet when they hear Jesus preaching, It's like some switch in them flips. Some hunger for more is finally recognized, and they step out in faith, leave it all behind to follow Jesus. And a new chapter is inaugurated for them too. It's this urgency to begin something new that really speaks to me this day. We are in a time of profound transition, and not just because of the change of administrations in Washington. So much of what we took for granted about the ways in which the world worked have been thrown up in the air this past year. COVID is to blame for much of that, and I know that each of us has that long list of things that we can't wait to see come back to normal. Things like hugs and handshakes and parties and communion and being back together in this room together. But not all the change has been bad. The racial reckoning we are just beginning as a country, promises to help us build a better and more just and inclusive and equitable future for everyone. The violence in Washington reminds us how precious and fragile our institutions are and how each of us must recommit to the common good. The virus has reminded us just how interconnected we are, just how reliant on one another we are. And it's reminded us too of what a gift it can be to slow down and to be with those who are closest to us. To cook and to garden and to read and to take long walks and to pray. My heart in silence waits. Pausing the world as it was, it's as if these last few months have given us a chance to step back and to say, well, if not that, then what? If not that, then what then? I believe that God is especially present in those liminal spaces between one thing and the next, those Holy Saturday moments between the death of one reality and the new life of another. God is present in this moment of transition to say, just as Jesus did in this morning's gospel, you may be busy mending your nets. You may be busy trying to keep on keeping on. But trust me, God is near. God is at work. Don't miss out. Pay attention. Stick with me. Watch me. Learn from me. And I'll show you a life worth living. I wonder at the start of this new year, in this time that feels like so much is lying fallow, waiting for a new season of growth, where might God be at work in your life? Where might God be challenging you and challenging me to put him first above all things? Where might God be calling us urgently to get involved in his work of healing and restoration and recreation? Each of us will have personal answers to those questions, of course. The call of God on each of our lives is as personal a thing as there is. But there's also the life we share. The life we share as the body of Christ at St. Luke's. And as I prayed with this text this week, it strikes me that there are three things, three simple and yet profound things that we together are called to focus on for this year to come. Personal growth, numerical growth, and growth in the impact on our neighbors. First, personal growth. Andrew and Simon, James and John, leave the world they knew behind to be close to Jesus. And through that intimacy, through that relationship, to be changed. I think that we, this year as a community, are called to focus on creating spaces in our life for each of us to have that intimacy with Jesus. And to be about the work of personal spiritual growth. Sometimes when the busyness of the world falls away, that is the best thing we can do. It begins here in this worship that we share week by week on Sunday, hearing God's word and receiving it, whether in person or virtually in the sacrament. But then it expands into each and every day through that quiet time with God, through our daily prayers, through engagement with Scripture, by offering ourselves to God and waiting in the silence of our hearts for the answer for how we are called to grow. And with Lent just around the corner, the invitation to us, the invitation that we as the clergy and staff are extending to you to focus on personal growth, is that we would each find ourselves in something we're calling a grow group, a group of small disciples where we can grow ourselves in our intimacy with God and with one another. The second thing I think that this story calls us together as St. Luke's to focus on is the growth in our body, the numerical growth of this congregation. Andrew and Simon, James and John are told that they will become fishers of men, that they will go and invite other people into life of intimacy with Jesus. Casting their net, they will sweep in all sorts and all kinds of fish. I think the work ahead for us in this year to come is to work on making this community as diverse and inclusive and broad and welcoming as the world around us. The church that gathers in this place Sunday by Sunday should look like the town around us and the county around us. We should look to make sure that no one feels unwelcome in this boat. And thirdly, I think the story calls us to focus on growing in our impact on our neighbors. The story moves James and John from mending their nets, maintaining the status quo, to mending the world, to being about God's work of justice and of repairing the breach and of restoring streets to live in, as Isaiah says. And I'm excited that our outreach committee is beginning the work of discernment that will help point this community forward into how we too can move from the status quo to the work of mending the world, joining with Jesus in healing and restoration and recreation. God calls. God calls, and the summons is to be about his work with an urgency like a puppy's. So may we pray for ourselves to know where God calls each of us. And may we, as St. Luke's, recommit ourselves to those goals for the year ahead of personal growth, numerical growth, and growth in the impact we can make on our neighbors. May we listen. May we hear. And may we have the grace and the courage of Andrew and Simon, James and John, to answer. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.